During the break, we were singing Electric Avenue. We rocked back to Electric Avenue, didn't we?
We sure.
We rocked.
We were rocking
back to.
Who wrote that song? You remember who performed that
who
song?
Who wrote that?
Not who wrote. Who performed it?
Yeah, performed it. Yeah. Rick. No, not Rick James. No, who? This was 1982, right?
Yeah, I think so. Electric Avenue. It wasn't Gary U.S. Bonds.
Oh, no. I knew that not long ago.
All right, somebody's going to have to let us know.
We got to rock down to
Electric Avenue, and then we take it higher.
All right, yes.
Oh, man.
Another song I like was Funky Town. Who wouldn't want to go to Funky Town?
Oh, yeah.
Who would not want to go to Funky Town?
I want to go. Let's go right now.
Let's do it.
Forget.
All right, we're talking about the secrets of the kingdom. I want to tie up a loose end there before we go to the next secret, which is the duration of Israel's blindness. I was looking for a verse, and I found it during the break when we were not singing, and that would be verse 10 of Matthew 13. This is critical. Approaching, the disciples say to him, "Wherefore art thou?" I don't know why they talk like that, but
I don't know.
"Wherefore art thou speaking in parables to them?" Why are you giving the crowd parables? Now answering, he said to them, "To you has it been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of the heavens, yet to those it has not been given." To you it's been given to know, and I'm saying that to those of you listening to us, to you it's been given to know the secrets of the kingdom, that the kingdom of the heavens, the 1,000 years on earth, was delayed. In Jesus' day, it was a secret. Nobody knew about it.
Yeah.
Jesus began prophesying of his death. Peter didn't like that. And he told him, don't go anymore to preach. The heralding stopped.
Yeah.
Jesus began to foretell his death. Peter said, far be it from this to happen to you. Jesus said, go get behind me, Satan. And he began his walk to Calvary at that point.
Yeah, and so the secret of the kingdom in the first secret referring to that we talked about yesterday has to do with the fact that the kingdom that was proclaimed as being near was pushed forward into the future. In that parable in Matthew 13, the Lord Jesus is a sower. In the unveiling, he's a reaper when the kingdom comes. Today's secret is going to show us how that kingdom message is not just postponed to the future. It's stopped.
It stopped because God divorced Israel.
Yeah,
God
exactly.
Divorced his bride. Israel was always known as Jehovah's wife, and he divorced her, and now they are not my people.
And so Romans 11:25 is the second secret, which shows us, it gives us even further information into the secrets of the kingdom, that they are now completely stopped for now. They're not just, if the kingdom is not just postponed to the future while the message is still being heralded to Israel. It's completely stopped now, and it's not going out today because, according to Romans 11:25.
Yeah.
Okay, you're shaking your head.
Well, I sort of disagree with that a little bit in the fact that it's not going out. I think it's on hold, definitely.
Okay, all right. We'll just stop there.
But the key is God blinded Israel.
Yeah. Yes.
He blinded Israel, and that's why it stopped.
Exactly.
Because if they weren't blinded, they would have accepted him as a nation,
yeah.
And the kingdom would have come then,
yeah.
And God's secret hidden counsels for the nations, I'm getting ahead of myself here, would not have been displayed. So in order to make sure that happened, he himself blinded them. He didn't leave it to chance. Like,
yeah.
I hope Israel doesn't accept me, because then I can give these other, I can reveal the depths of my heart to this sinner on his way to Damascus to kill Christians. I want to do that, but it all depends on the heralding and whether Israel decides to accept me or not. So as if God's on the...
Yeah, right, right.
No, he purposely blinds them so that they won't get it, so that it can be delayed.
And that's part of the reason why Hebrews was written to those who did believe among Israel, and the writer of Hebrews is showing them that that kingdom is being put forward into the future, because what does the writer of Hebrews tell them? That you have to have patience now. He puts them in the position of those who didn't inherit the promises. And the writer of Hebrews is encouraging them to hold on, because this is being put far off.
Hebrews makes no sense unless you see this stop, this pause, this gap. And this is where our preterist friends don't get it.
By the way, that's the book that shows you that the man should always make the coffee in the household.
Really?
Yeah, what? Hebrews.
Hebrews. Get David Letterman back on the phone. All right. We're in Romans 11. Here's the big question, Dan. Verse 1. I am saying then, does not God thrust away his people?
Does not God thrust away his people? No, he does not.
But why would it seem that way? There's a reason Paul asks this question. Is because the Romans, that is those of the nations, would think that, well, God is finished with Israel, because you have to have lived in this time to have understood this.
Yeah.
I've put myself back there in my mind as one of these Romans who was watching what's going on with Israel. It's a train wreck. It started high in Acts chapter 2. It becomes a train wreck. And then Israel seems to have fallen, stumbled, to have been lost forever. And the nations are all proud. Well, I guess we're the people now. I guess Israel's stupid, and now we're the apple of God's eye. And Paul says, well, you're very special, but don't become prudent or wise in your own estimation.
Exactly.
Because a secret I'm telling you, and here it is in Romans 11:25.
For I am not willing for you to be ignorant. Oh, by the way, Paul says it a lot, doesn't he?
What, ignorant?
Yeah, well, I'm just saying this because every time Paul says it, usually somebody's ignorant about something.
Yeah, that's right.
And so, I am not willing for you to be ignorant of this secret, brethren. This secret, there's more than one, brethren, lest you may be passing for prudent among yourselves, like an arrogant person, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? That callousness, in part, on Israel has come until, this is Isaiah 6:11 is being answered here, until the complement of the nations may be entering. And Christendom has become haughty because they believe that that they don't believe the until part. They think that God's all finished with Israel. Whereas what this verse is saying is that there's a blindness, a callousness in part on Israel until the complement of the nations may be entering. And I think you and I are in agreement, the complement of the nations is
the body of Christ.
The body of Christ. Paul's message going out to the nations to make the body of Christ this new group of people that is going to be snatched away. And then when that happens, and thus all Israel shall be saved according as it is written, arriving out of Zion shall be the rescuer. So that can't happen until the present message going out today through the Apostle Paul is run its course.
There are many who believe in the salvation of all who don't understand this. Many.
Yeah.
We're running into these people all the time that they think God is done with Israel. And
because they think it's carnal, it's fleshly to talk about God choosing people.
It's fleshly, yes. And they call us spiritual Israel, which I hate that term. This is why. If you're telling me that the body of Christ, those who are not physically related to Abraham, are spiritual Israel, that's telling me that the literal seed is not spiritual.
Right.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Abraham had two seeds, the star seed and the sand seed. The star seed was the spiritual one, the ones who are enlightened.
Yeah.
I mean, Israel coming into the kingdom, that's as spiritual as you can get.
Yeah.
That's spiritual fulfillment. By saying that God is going to figuratively fulfill his promises to Israel in a people who are not even Israel, well, it's proof to those saying that they are ignorant of this secret.
Exactly. You know, and people are ignorant.
I noticed that.
People are ignorant.
Yes, they are.
And to say that, people think, well, you're arrogant for saying that. No. Paul is telling us there are so many people ignorant of this secret. They call it in some circles replacement theology, like the body of Christ somehow replaces Israel.
Replacement theology, the body of Christ replaces.
And we do not. And it's interesting, Paul calls the body of Christ a new creation. It's not a development of that which went before.
Great point.
It's a new, he creates in the two one new humanity. It's a new creation.
It doesn't come out of anything that it existed
exactly.
before.
Exactly. There's no hint of it. And that's why God had to raise up a different apostle.
Yes.
Who was both Jew and Gentile in one person.
Because he was raised Greek.
He was a Roman citizen.
By birth.
He didn't have to pay for it.
He was like a Jew by education.
And he was so he had both. And so Paul in himself represents the great message, a Jew and Gentile in one body. It's a new creation. And so in this secret here, in Romans 11:25, it's negative in the sense that it's showing that this callousness in part is happening to Israel because of their unbelief, because of their non-repentance. But it's only saying the point of Romans 11:25 is the time element, that God is not through with Israel.
Yeah, this needed to be revealed because otherwise you would think that God had cast away his people, thrust them away forever.
Yeah, you read Romans 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. What are you learning here? You're learning new truth that doesn't distinguish between Israel and all are justified by faith with a specific calling and an expectation. And these great teachings of Romans 5 through 8, eliminating the law and anything that has to do with Israel's calling. And so Paul saying, so somebody would be reading and say, well, wait a minute, what about all these promises?
What about all these promises to Israel? And we ourselves, Dan, we ourselves would possibly be preterists or replacement theologians were it not for this verse.
Yeah.
Paul is saying, no, God has not thrust away his people. They're still going to receive the promises according as it is written there in verse 28. Israel's going to be saved according as it is written. That is, Israel's going to be saved in accord with their own promises.
Yes.
We're not seeing the nation of Israel being transferred to the body of Christ here. Otherwise, we wouldn't read according as it is written. And then we have that passage, arriving out of Zion shall be the rescuer. And even now, Dan, this is even now, God has some who are faithful to that calling. And again, the book of Hebrews was written to those people.
Yeah.
They saw the kingdom pulled out from under them like a rug. Where's the Messiah? He said it was near. What happened? I think Paul wrote Hebrews to those people.
Yeah.
But he didn't put his name on it because it would kill the letter.
Yeah.
It would kill the letter if his name showed up anywhere on it. Because people hated Paul. But only he knew, being a Jew and Greek, he knew how to explain this intelligently to his countrymen.
Yeah, and I think God allowed Paul to satisfy the longing of Paul's heart for his own people.
Yes, but that never ended with Paul.
No, never ended.
It never ended with Paul.
Even though Paul had better blessings than Israel ever had, he still had he loved his people.
And I think what Paul did, I think when he talked to them one-on-one, he tried to talk them into his evangel. He tried to get them to jump ship. But when he's writing a doctrinal book, like Romans, he's sticking to the doctrinal lines. He's sticking to the nation as a whole.
Yeah.
But again, he gets these people one-on-one. He says, hey, you want a better message? You want a better expectation? You tired of getting wet? You tired of having your anatomy altered? I got a new message for you. Jump ship like I did. Some did, right?
They did. Some did jump ship.
But some of the nations, some of the Israelites stuck fast to their evangel. Peter was one of them.
Yeah, and it's interesting. There was interaction between the two as well because they were going on at the same time.
Between Paul and Peter?
Well,
between the two evangels.
Yeah, I mean, it's like when he go to the synagogue, and what was his message to them?
It was an Israel message.
It was an Israel message because they had to believe that first. Yeah, yeah. They had to believe that first before they can advance.
They had to know
Paul.
Jesus was the Messiah.
Before,
and I'm sure he's dragging verse after verse after verse out of Psalms, out of the law, out of the temple system to show that Jesus was the Christ.
Well, point is, don't be arrogant. Don't. Arrogance is saying that Israel's all done and we've replaced him. That is arrogance. We have not replaced Israel. God, if God does not fulfill every promise to that nation according to the flesh, the Jew, we can't trust anything God says.
Amen on that. I think I feel really good what we've done today at the end of the week with the secret of the duration of Israel's blindness. On Monday, we're going to be back. We're going to talk about the secret of the resurrection. Next week, we're going to talk about the secret of Christ and the secret administration. Lots of secrets yet to be revealed. Stay with us.